I'm Barry Farrell, Premier of the State, and you're listening to Who's Playing Who.
What up, I'm Benji Marshall.
I'm Gareth Ellis.
I'm Wally Tecuri. And you're listening to Who's Playing Who.
Wow, winning.
And welcome to another action-packed, hard-hitting episode of Who's Playing Who. I'm Adrian McMurray, and thank you for joining us for yet another outstanding episode of this humble little podcast. And yes, it is episode 62. Welcome to it. We have had a couple of weeks off, as is tradition on this podcast, but we're back and ready to kick things off for 2013. Only 23 days into the year. Who cares? We're here. That's all that matters. Joining me, first of all, who's playing who co-owner, Matthew Trodden.
Thanks, Adrian. Great to be back for 2013, and hope all of our listeners enjoy this first episode.
That's it. Also, join us, first of our New Zealand fellows, Tom O'Yee.
Adrian, always a pleasure, never a chore, mate. Happy New Year, and it's good to be back, and it's going to be a great show.
And rounding out the panel, David Shipton.
Hey, guys. Good to be back again. Thank you for having me on again. Should be a good year.
Let's do this. We're starting off with our hot topics, and there is only one. It's really dominated the couple of weeks that we've been away. That is the Lance Armstrong confession Oprah interview. So I'll just go around the panel and get your thoughts on what's transpired. We'll start with Tomo.
The idea that we didn't know how badly... we all knew drugs was a problem throughout cycling, and the way that he's looking at it, it was saying, you know, if the field can do it, why can't I do it? His problem that he's basically saying is that he was the one, other people got caught, and that kind of led to him. But the maniacal and like how calculative it was, and how entrenched this whole scandal goes back, and the measures that he took to hide it all is incredible. Like, it is unbelievable that the level of thinking that he went to hide all this, and to see all the trouble that he's caused, and all the people that he's blackmailed and hurt in the process of this, and it's just to the point now where it kind of looks like Tiger Woods, what he did to his family, doesn't look as bad as what Lance Armstrong's done to his charity and his family. It's quite something. And just another side note to the Oprah interview is, as well as the Oprah interview's done, and I think it had like 3.2 or 3.4 million viewers, and it was said to be, you know, quite a big interview. Her biggest interview was actually with Michael Jackson, in the early 90s, and it was 62 million viewers, which is a ginormous view. Live viewers, 62 million viewers for a live interview with Michael Jackson. But I mean, anyway, but the Lance Armstrong situation is mind-boggling, just to think how much went into it and what he tried to do to hide it all. And it's crazy to think that he's doing this because he's such a competitive athlete, because he wants to compete again.
Yeah, a couple of things. I thought it was a bit weird when he mentioned, talking about testosterone, like he was justifying it because of, you know, his cancer and obviously what went on with that. Also, the whole thing to me just seems seems so bizarre that it's just like it's not real, it's not happening.
Yeah.
We'll see what David has to think about it.
Yeah, I got that feeling as well. Be interesting to know what he has to say in front of an independent commission and whatnot, whether he dobbs in the cycling body. But I don't know. I think I still get the feeling that he wasn't quite telling us everything. Like, he told us most things, but I think there was a little bit more that he could have been telling. So I'd like to know what that's about. But look, if the cycling body is implicated, it is found to have been, you know, involved in this, or in some way by taking money or whatnot, it could mean that cycling's out of the Olympics, which could be a big deal.
That's true. That's true. Matt, your take on it all.
Yeah, as I kind of agree with all of you there, it's a bit surreal in a way. But, you know, I think it's good. It's kind of, I wouldn't say it's not over. You'd be a fool to think that the whole thing, the scandal, is over now. But I think it's good that it'll hopefully die down a bit, get it out of the way. Cause, you know, he's admitted it. He's, you know, come clean to everyone. It's over. From what I believe, it was calculated and it was this. For perjury charges, there's like a 7-year timeline where you have to do it within the 7 years, and he's past that now. So from what I believe, I don't think he can get done for perjury, for lying to about the taking the EPO and blood doping and whatnot. But I think it's good that it's kind of out there and open. I mean, a lot of people are calling for him, you know, it's almost as though people want him to be jailed and killed, which is a bit much because his biggest crime is he's a liar. That's the end of the story. He's just a liar, and that's a lot of the cyclists from that era seem to be the same way. He's just the one that won everything. So I just hope that he doesn't get completely hung out to dry for this, because as has been found, there's a lot more people who gave him up first that did the exact same thing, and just obviously didn't get away with it as much. So I hope his mental health, because this is obviously a massive time for him, I hope his mental health is thought of in the time and not him kind of driven to complete depression because everyone wants to kind of lynch him.
Yeah, I mean, all the sponsors are probably going to be suing him now for all this money that he's made off their endorsements, and it's all false now. And I think you're right, he's going to be hung out to dry because he's now the unofficial poster child of drugs and cycling Drugs and cycling is such a huge deal, and the sport basically needs a major overhaul about it because it's just run rampant.
Yeah, I think with the sponsorship, I reckon there's no way in the world they'll get their sponsorship dollars back.
No.
Legally, he's done nothing wrong by his sponsors, really. They've made their money off him. I saw the Adelaide government were one of the first people to – not first, but one of the – in Australia at least, people coming out saying, oh, we want our money back from that. They're not going to get their money back. He'd be the last person on their list that they're going to give money back to, but they made their money off him. Every sponsor, I think he will have to and should pay all of his prize money back and pay any government handout, like the American Post sponsored him. I think he should pay all the money back to them. But things like Nike made their money off him.
Yeah.
So, and they've seen Nike probably made more money out of the Tiger Woods scandal than they did when he was actually number one in the world. So it's, yeah, I think hopefully it'll all just kind of settle down and we'll get over it and look towards the current crop who seemingly are less druggy, I guess.
All right. Well, that was quite a nice, very level-headed discussion there. But something just to bring it back down to our usual level on the podcast of, you know, what we like to talk about. Why the hell were they drinking out of straws? That's the big question. That's, and I think that'll remember.
Because they're elegant,
yeah.
Adrian.
Yeah, fair
they don't
enough.
Care how they look. They're going to consume what they want, how they want.
Right. That'll do us. And I'm sure this won't go anytime soon. But, yeah, no, I think we covered quite comprehensively there. Let's move along to the A-League now. And plenty of stuff's happened since we've last been on. But our match of the round this weekend, the Big Blue. Melbourne Victory host Sydney FC. This one's coming to you from Amy Park, Saturday, 5:30 p.m. kickoff. And we'll go to Matt first. Who are you tipping here?
I'm going to have to sit on the fence and go with the draw. These are notoriously fiery games, the Big Blues. These are also notoriously tight. You don't see too many Big Blue blowouts. Obviously, Sydney FC last week, ADP had a field day against the Phoenix. But then again, it was the Phoenix, so you've got to put that in context. And the Victory have been kind of plodding along there, going quite well. The Perth performance for them was probably fairly average, but it's a long road trip. I really can't see anything splitting the two teams, particularly since it's in Melbourne. I think Sydney FC are probably due for a bit of a slower performance because their last two games have been quite good. So I think I'll just have to go with the draw here. Low-scoring draw, probably a 1-1.
Tomo?
Yeah, Matt summed it up pretty nicely. I think I'll go for a draw as well, but I'd probably go 0-0.
Okay. pretty boring then. Yep. Should be.
I'm gonna be a little bit odd here, and I'm gonna say Sydney FC is gonna take this one. Yeah, normally they're quite low scoring games, so I'll go for 1-0 for Sydney FC. They seem to have been in quite good form the last couple of weeks, and I think they're hitting the straps at the right time. So we'll go Sydney FC.
Okay.
Just before you make your pick, Adrian, it yes. should be remembered to remind everyone. Boz's hairpiece picked a draw in this game, just for any. It might influence your tip, or it may not. But Boz's hairpiece is 100% record at the moment, and yes. It tipped a draw.
I was actually going to confirm with you whether it. I was pretty sure it picked the draw, and it does have a huge bearing on my predictions. I'm going to follow the hairpiece 100% record in the two games it's predicted so far. I think it predicted Sydney to get out to a good early start, but then victory will pull it back.
Or if you can get a Saturday night, bloody Emily O'Brien.
And I'm going to go with the draw. All right, let's move on to the EPL now. That's seamless. And our EPL match of the round this week. Arsenal, it's actually next week. Arsenal hosting Liverpool. This one's coming to you from the Emirates. Sydney time, Wednesday morning, 6:45. So if you're a fan of either side, nice and early. Well, it's probably a regulation wake-up time if you go to work. Otherwise, it's a tad early, but... fantastic time to view the football, nonetheless. At least it's not 3 a.m. Interesting, both these sides, mixed form, really. Arsenal can't take a trick at the moment, really. And Liverpool, Daniel Sturridge, what a find he has been for them. So we'll go around and see who everyone's tipping. Matt?
I'm very interested to see what Arsenal do in the game against West Ham, because if they can win that, I think they may take this game away from Liverpool. As you mentioned before, Sturridge has been an excellent find for them. Probably value-wise, you'd have to say better than Andy Carroll. And
oh, yeah.
But I think the re-signing of Theo Walcott was probably a bit of a big thing for the Gunners, because some renewed belief in the side, even though they went down to Chelsea. I really think they will probably just have too much for Liverpool, who performed well last start, so they're due for a drop-in game.
Yeah, I'm just going to back Arsenal as well. Well summed, Matt.
I think you can't really predict what Arsenal are gonna be like. I think they could get there. As Matt said, it probably will depend a little bit on the game they're gonna play prior to this one. But I'll back them as well.
Yeah, both these sides. It seems like when Liverpool win a couple of games, they suddenly are back in contention for spots in Europe. They're even talking about coming, at the start of the season, they were going to finish second or something ridiculous. But if Arsenal fared income about retaining their spot in the Champions League, they will win this game. But it should be a cracker. Let's have a look at the cricket. And the ODI series has come to a close, of course. The Australian side started the series it was a promising start. It was just what we were expecting, big totals and an easy victory. But then something strange happened. Things fell away in the quite dramatically, but they finished strongly again. So, Matt, what's your thoughts on the five ODIs?
I think it's very interesting. We were talking about this in the production meeting prior, that it seemed everything hinges on whether Philip Hughes gets past three or not. If he gets past three, he scores 100 and Australia do well. If he doesn't pass three, then they get rolled for under 200. So... their batting has been pedestrian for the most part in the series, apart from probably Hughes, Bailey and Hussey in the first game, and then Hughes again in the last game. So they really need probably a bit more application in their batting. There's been some hard pitches to bat on, but when they're going to England, the swing that Kulusekera was getting in the three games that the Australians didn't win in the series, that's going to really cause them some trouble. So it's. I think it's been quite good. It's been a bit eye-opening for the Australian players, the selectors, and probably just the public as well. We're not as good as the Sri Lankan Test Series made us look. And with the 2020s coming up, it's a good chance for a few of the fringe batsmen to stake a claim for that middle order spot, both in the test side and probably in the one-day team as well.
All right, and look, yeah, looking ahead to the T20s, are you excited, first of all, by the upcoming fixtures, or is it a bit so-so?
To be honest, a bit so-so. What I'm excited to see is Sean Marsh return to the side. I really do wish his brother was fit, because those two in a T20 side and a limited overs team could be deadly, and could actually, the form in that could work their way both into the test team. So I'm excited to see Sean Marsh bat, see how he goes in the two 2020 games, and probably Ben Lachlan's the interesting bowling choice as well.
Mm.
He was very good for the Hurricanes, and I think he could do some damage against the Sri Lankans, but I don't expect a whole lot results-wise from this series, because the Sri Lankans are one of the best T20 sides in the world.
Fair enough. And good to see players rewarded for their form in the BBL as well. It's it's been an interesting year for that. Maybe we'll talk about it another time, but good to see that form is being rewarded in the T20 version of the game. Let's have a look at tennis now. And of course, the Australian Open is happening as we speak. And there are some Australians scattered through the draws still. They're still just battling away. Of course, we lost Burney and Leighton very early on. So there really are any hopes at singles anytime soon. And of course, Sam Stosur, she just, I think, wilted in the second round. I guess is how you describe her loss. She just can't take a trick, really, at a home Grand Slam. But Matt, there is hope. The women's doubles, I believe.
Yes, we do still have two people, the two of the women's doubles players left. It's young Ash Barty, the 16-year-old who did so well at the Hopman Cup, and Casey Dellacqua. They're in a quarterfinal still to play. And in the mixed doubles, we also have Matt Ebden and Jamila Gaidasova, who are still alive. They're in a semi on Thursday. So we could have some people still there on finals day. We do have some of the legends in the kind of knock-around tournaments still left, and there's a couple of the young in the boys' singles. There's a couple of promising players who I can't pronounce their names left. So there's still some hope for Australian tennis, but it's probably not a great outlook for the Australian Open. Really disappointing with Sam Stosur going out too early, and probably just as disappointing that Burney had to run into Roger so early in the tournament. Really, if he'd gone a bit later, it would have been, I don't think he was ever going to win, but you just wish he could have got a bit of a kinder draw and maybe made it through the second week.
It was good how he just like talked up his chances, and then Federer just comes out and gives him a spanking.
Absolutely nailed him. What he did.
Jeez,
He was undefeated going into that match, wasn't he, in 2013?
Yeah, he was. Yes.
Yeah, because he'd beaten Djokovic a tournament before, a couple of tournaments before. He was looking really good.
Hopman Cup, he knocked off Djokovic. Actually, that game, he was magnificent, just completely controlled the world number one. So there's still some promise there, although, you know, it's a long way to go.
Well, that's a nice segue into the semifinals. Djokovic is taking on Ferrer in one of them. And the other one, Andy Murray, he hasn't choked yet. He's through to either play. Well, I'm going to call early. I'm going to say it's Federer. As we record this, the quarter is happening, but I reckon he'll do the business. Won the first set, so that'll do me. So we're looking at a Murray-Federer semi. You fancy either of them, or is Djokovic just going to take? I think it'll be his third Oz Open title in a row.
I'm thinking probably Djokovic. Ferrer will be really worn out after his five setter in the quarter, so I don't think he'll be able to match Djokovic, who was a bit lazy actually, probably in his quarterfinal. I haven't seen much of Murray, to be honest. He's been on during the day, which doesn't help.
He's not a high-rating player, obviously.
No, clearly not. But the form that Federer has shown in this tournament, I don't think he can really be matched.
Fair enough. Tomo?
I think until Djokovic is beaten in Australia, he is the form. He's the form player, and he's the one to beat. But in saying that, Murray-Federer semi would be outstanding, should it go through. I mean, we say that now, but the match is still got to happen. He's still got to beat Federer. Still got to beat Songa, and it's very close at the moment. But Murray just cruised through to the semis. He won in straight sets and pretty convincingly. So I mean, the semis are always going to be entertaining. And it's a shame Nadal's not playing due to injury. But I mean, the top seeing those top four players in the world always duke it out at end of Grand Slams is always impressive. But I think, Djokovic kind of has the easier path to the final. And if he can dispatch Ferreira easily, then it should give him an advantage, because knowing Murray and Federer, they could, if you know, if that is the semi, then that could be another epic, you know, 5-hour match.
Have we had some of them, Dave? Quickly, your champion.
I'm gonna go for Djokovic. Normally a Federer type of a person, but I think on this surface, Djokovic. He's gotten into trouble, but you know he's always got that way of finding a way out. That knack of, you know, just digging himself into a hole and then getting out of it. So I think he'll be good. On the surface, I think he'll come up trumps.
All right, and we are an equal opportunity podcast. The ladies draw the semis, Azarenka and Sloane Stephens. That spot in the semifinals was, of course, reserved for Serena. Cruised through her compatriot there, but no, Sloane Stephens knocked her off her mini-me, if you will. And in the other side of the draw, Lina and Maria Sharapova go toe-to-toe. Who's the pick of the bunch there?
I'm going to say Azarenka, just because I'd like to see Red Fu again in the box, supporting the guy from LMFAO.
Fair enough. Tomo, are your tips as fickle as Matt's?
Not really, but I think I'm going to take Sharapova, because at the moment she is steamrolling opponents. And also, there was some kind of statistic that came out, news article, that she signed some new endorsement deal, and in her last match, she was earning like $1,000 a minute she was on the court. That's how much money she was making out of that deal. So, in saying that, success and money translate, so I'm going to go Sharapova.
Jeez, good work if you can get it. God. Dave, what are you thinking?
I think Sharapova will win. Her shrieks are being matched by her tennis this time, so I think she'll finally she'll take this one out, and yeah, she'll be good.
Beautiful. Yeah, I think the defending champ will do it. The Belarusian, I believe she is from Belarus, isn't she, or something? I don't know.
Somewhere around there.
Anyway, Azarenka will do it.
If you weren't clear who you were talking about.
Yeah, that's confident tipping right there. Okay, the NBA, Tomo, what's going on with the Lakers?
God, I don't know. It's been a tough season, to put it. At the beginning of the season, I mean, I told you guys I brought League Pass, thinking, you know, it was going to be a good investment. I get to watch every Laker game and see them, you know, come together in a glorious run of successful games and then obviously a championship. And now the question is not, it's basically, this is how sad it's become. At the beginning of the year, it was talking about how many championships this group could win. And it's slightly regressed every month. And now it's like, oh, maybe they'll get to the finals. Or, oh, no, maybe they'll win the Western Conference. They'll still be top four in the playoffs. And now it's, are they even going to make the playoffs? That's how bad it's become, unfortunately. And this team just looks lost. And it's weird because they've got so much talent. And the coach is saying, oh, we've got to blame the offense. The offense isn't flowing this well. All the players are saying, well, defensively, we suck. And it's true. Defensively, they suck. And I don't know what's going to cure this. And of course, you know, when a team performs badly, all these news articles come out and, you know, oh, this is the problem, or Dwight Howard's not happy, or Kobe's injured. And it's been just a whole royal screw up this season in regards to, you know, they've had bad health, coaching situation, and part of the draw. And so they're not doing too well. to sum it up, they lost to Matt's Bulls the other day, and they kept that competitive, and then they just got blitzed in the last, you know, 4 minutes of the game. And then lost that by 12. And then Adrian's Mavs are now playing, you know, a bit better. And they're now half a game up, which doesn't say much because both teams are not playing well. But I still hope that they can make the playoffs. And that's the sad reality, is that that's kind of where I am now as a Laker fan. I'm hoping that they can get their act together and get to the playoffs.
I've got a quick question.
Yeah, far away.
Kobe Bryant tweeted, what's this hashtag, count on Kobe? He says, watching the game now, the easy shots I missed could have had 100 points. Hashtag count on Kobe. Is that a reality TV show? Or?
Count on Kobe is the new marketing campaign for Kobe Bryant and his new shoes. So basically there was an ad released about last week.
Yep.
And the tagline for that was, you know, you can count on Kobe. So, you know, the sun rises in the east, it settles in the west. You can count on Kobe to score buckets.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. You know, snakes are going to be deadly. You know, the rain will fall. You can count on Kobe to knock out the opposing defender. with a dagger kind of thing. So, and so at the moment he's tweeting because I think it was yesterday was the 7-year anniversary of the Kobe Bryant game where he scored 81 points against the Toronto Raptors. And so he live tweeted that game. It's the first time he's ever seen that game, which is crazy to think someone as good as Kobe Bryant wouldn't sit down and watch, you know, their greatest hits.
Yeah.
But this was the first time he's watched the game since, and he was live tweeting it. And for some reason, you know, he's become quite a Twitter pro now, and you know, he's creating his own hashtags, and it's been pretty entertaining actually.
Cool. I just wanted to know. That's all. Yep. Probably everyone else already knew, and now that's really
bored.
Hey, but
I'm here to enlighten you.
That's it.
The most important thing.
And speaking of enlighten, hey, it's the Bobcat update.
The Bobcat update. Oh, if there's one team in the league at the moment that still makes me happier than the Lakers predicament, it's the Bobcats, because they are still terrible.
count on they, Bobcats. Hashtag.
They are current, but they're not last, though. They're not last, though. Their record is they're second to last in the league, actually. They are 10-31. So I got another little statistic for you. They, you know how I like to bring out the numbers when I talk about the Bobcats. Mm-hmm. They currently have a 24% win percentage. They have lost 2 in a row and 2-8 in their last 10. And since they started 7-5, of course, you know, if we remember, 7 was the amount of wins they had last season. So they've tied that. Since they started 7-5, they've gone 3-26. So I mean, things could be worse for the Lakers. They could be the Bobcats.
Should we change the Bobcat update to whatever team's actually coming last? I thought we were always safe with them to be.
Yeah, well, we could. I mean, Washington is the worst team. They're
it's Obama. Get him.
Okay, so the Bobcats are 10-31. The Wizards are 9-30, so they're really not that much better. I think it could be smart staying on the Bobcats because the Wizards just got John Wall back, and he's their star player. So, and they're 5-5 over their last 10 games. So I think they'll overtake the Bobcats soon. So I think we're safe with the Bobcats.
Beautiful. Well, I'm just going to do some research now as we move on to the NFL. And this there's been this interesting story that's gone on while we've been away. You want to tell us a bit about that and what the hell's going on?
All right. So, okay. So basically what's happened is this this player called Manti Te'o. He is a player who plays for Notre Dame, as they call it in America. basically, it's come out that, so during the season, he has this girlfriend, and during the season, his grandmother passes away. This guy's an All-American, basically. He's a Heisman candidate, which is the big college Player of the Year award. And so basically he's having this great season and he has this girlfriend, and all of a sudden, within the space of a day, his grandmother passes away and his girlfriend passes away. She was in this horrible car accident, and then they found out that she had leukemia and passed away before a big game that he had to play in. So he dedicated the game to his grandmother and his girlfriend, and they won. And it's just turned out in the last week that it's come out from Deadspin.com is that his girlfriend isn't actually real. Like, it's been a hoax. He's been hoaxed, and because he's never met her, and he said he's fallen in love, and basically the person who's hoaxed him has taken this photo of some random girl and basically started this Twitter account and started tweeting this Manti Te'o, and, you know, he essentially fell in love with the girl, and now it turns out she's not real.
That's so bizarre.
It is so weird.
Yeah.
So weird.
I mean, it comes down to three options. It's either, you know, he didn't know, you know, he was pranked. The other two options is that he did know the whole time, or that he didn't know and then found out and then kept doing it for publicity and all that. But it's just a weird, weird situation.
Mm.
And it's kind of captivated America. And actually, it's taken a bit of the spotlight away from the whole Lance Armstrong situation. Probably. Yeah, so Lance Armstrong's probably behind it. But no, it's just a weird, captivating story. Only in America, really, could this really happen.
That's fair enough. Yeah, it was very, very bizarre. But there is actual football being played, and the Super Bowl is just around the corner. And we're here to preview it now. Matt, I'll let you take the reins.
Yep, probably not preview as much. I'm going to be the first to admit I'm not a massive NFL head. but I do know that it's the San Francisco 49ers up against the Baltimore Ravens in this one. The 49ers run down a massive deficit in their conference final against the Broncos, I believe they're up 17-0 down and ended up winning. So that's they've got a bit of momentum there. The Ravens were just too good in theirs. And I'm going to tip a Ravens win. There's a bit of issue at my English teacher in year 12 was from Baltimore, massive Baltimore Ravens fan. So I'm going to tip them just because of that. And there's also the little backstory. The two coaches are brothers of both teams. So first time in Super Bowl history that brothers have coached against each other. And I think that'll be an interesting one come the next family dinner if there's any controversy in the game.
Fair enough. How about you, David?
I found it fascinating, this little backstory between the two siblings. Their dad was also quite a big coach back in the day as well, and so they've been obviously their parents have a bit of a trouble of who to support, but it should be a good game. Obviously the Ravens are looking to have a good send off for Lewis, for their star player Lewis. It should be a good game. Gonna go for the Baltimore team.
That was confident. We're just covering this expertly here, I've got to say. How about you, Tomo?
I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens as well. I think it's this Ray Lewis's last season has been kind of like one of those fairy tale stories, and I think it would be the great way for him to go off. And seeing the two brothers coaching against each other is kind of, you know, like seeing the Manning brothers face off. I feel bad for Tom Brady because, you know, each year that he's been stopped, it's usually been like a Manning brother who stopped him along the way. And so they're both eliminated. So you think, oh, well, you know, he's going to have a great run. And then they just come up against, you know, then they lose their next game. And you think if he got the Super Bowl, they'd win. But anyway, long story short, I'm going to back the Ravens, not only because it's Ray Lewis's last game, but because I also watched the TV show The Wire, and it's based in Baltimore.
That's as good a reason as any. I'm going to go to San Francisco, actually. I think they will win. And I'm really looking forward to the halftime advertisements.
I was going to bring that up. Just that beyond the actual NFL that's being played, the halftime show, who's keen for that? It's Beyoncé this year, and Destiny's Child as well. There's actually a bit of controversy around that because it's come out yesterday, I think, about she sung the national anthem at Obama's inauguration ceremony, and there has been a massive rumor that it was a taped, so she lip synced the national anthem.
I heard that. Yeah, I heard that as well. But I guess she's worried that she was going to do what Christina Aguilera did at the last Super Bowl and mess up the words. So give me a recording over messing it up any day of the week, I say.
Well, it's been missing the words in a wardrobe malfunction a couple of years ago.
I don't know.
They certainly make things more interesting, I'd say. Yeah. That's the great NFL segment. You probably tell why we only do one a year.
We're getting better, though.
We got the teams this year, so yeah. That was a plus. Okay. Oh, all good. It's time for this great segment.
Yes, put on your thinking caps. It's time for the first edition of the Think Tank for 2013. And what a better way to kick things off, really, is to go through our predictions. Last time, if you heard Matt and Adrian talk about the wrap end of year show, we kind of went back and looked at our predictions from earlier in the year and see how many we got right and how many we got wrong, and see how foolish we were to predict some things that didn't happen. But so I thought this time, yeah, we'll kick things off and we'll see. Let's go through our 2013 predictions. Matt, why don't you kick us off?
I've got three predictions for this year. They're probably not all that, you know, out there, but I'm going to go safe with the first one and say that England are going to win the Ashes in England. So they'll retain the Ashes. I'm not going to go whether they actually win the series or whatever. I'm just saying they will have the Ashes when they come to Australia next summer. And I I think they'll probably win the series in England as well, but I'm not 100% sure of that. My number two prediction is that Mark Webber will win at least one Grand Prix this season.
Yay.
So I'm hopeful of that. Obviously, the shine's been kind of taken off his good driving recently because Vettel's just dominating everyone. So hopefully he can win a couple of a couple of Grand Prix this year and kind of get back up to that championship lead. And the final one is Aaron Woods to make his State of Origin debut in 2013.
Yay. Awesome. All right. Shippy, what about your predictions, mate?
So my predictions are, first of all, I'm going to have Rafael Nadal coming back for the French Open, and my prediction is that he's going to come back and have no form whatsoever, no practice, and he's going to win that just because he's Rafael Nadal and it's the French Open. He always does that.
He's the king of clay, isn't he?
He's the king of clay. King of clay. My next prediction. So I've got three. Sorry. My next prediction is that Israel Folau will make the Wallaby squad for the British and Irish Lions series.
Jeez.
I reckon they'll have to justify his pay packet somehow, and he'll be selected, but I don't know if he'll make the starting team or not.
So do you think that's a higher up, that's more of a like a political move than it is a actual talent move?
Yes. He has a talent. Like, he's definitely got the talent there, but whether he would have adjusted enough from coming from Aussie rules back to rugby. I don't know if he's played any rugby before, but it seems to me that there's quite a leap there. I don't know if he'll have adjusted in time, but I don't know, maybe. We'll need to see. My final prediction is that the All Blacks will be beaten at home by France this year without Richie McCaw. So, there you go.
Nice.
Huge call. Good call, though. Big call. Adrian, you're up.
All right, I've been a bit greedy, and I've got five this year, but whatever. I edit the podcast, so... Now, last year I was criticised for my tips being a bit vague and a bit of a cop-out, so I've gone with some more specific ones and a bit unique as well. The first one, I think Paul Gallen will lift a trophy above his head this year, and not just mean like he'll, you know, find one and just... He will win either NRL title, whatever, probably not. State of Origin, probably more likely. Maybe the Rugby League World Cup if something happens to Cam Smith, heaven forbid. Don't want that to happen. But
That's a question. I just wanted to put a bit of a thing on that prediction. Does he have to be captain to lift the title, or will he just win? Because now the VB test in the representative weekend, he could be classed as lifting a trophy.
That's true. No, I think he will be the skipper of the side. I see the image of him holding the trophy aloft on the podium. That's the That's the visual I'm going for.
Yep.
Okay, no, good question. Pick number two, Rabbitohs will make the NRL Grand Final. They were unlucky last year, coming up against a very good Bulldog side, and Reynolds lost out. Was injured. Great squad, great depth. They'll make the Grand Final, and we'll see what happens. Next one, GWS won't finish last in the AFL. I'm not sure if there's any other like teams that could finish below them, but I think they will finish not 18th. So there you go. I'm sure that will please James. And next one, Man United will win two trophies this season. I guess they can't. I don't think there's any. Unless they win the... No, I'll say this calendar year, they'll win two trophies because they could win the Community Shield, assuming they win.
Do you care to go out on a limb and say which ones they're going to win?
No, because there's the Premier League, there's the FA Cup, there's Champions League, Community Shield. So they will win two, though. That's my prediction. And finally, sticking with the EPL, there will be another new Chelsea manager appointed. I don't think Rafa Benitez will be sticking around anytime soon. And regardless of who they bring in, Fernando Torres will always start when Roman Abramovich is in the stadium. And that's my predictions.
All right. Thank you for that. And I've got a couple as well, actually. I got about three or four. Oh, five as well. Jesus. Lord. All right. Well, one of them's more of a cultural one. I always like to throw in a cultural guess, prediction. The first one is that the Crusaders will win the Super Rugby title this year. I think it's long overdue. It's been a long time since they won. Shippy, what was the last year they won?
2008.
Oh, God, you're good. I think the fact that Sonny Bill Williams has gone back to league The Chiefs aren't as strong, and I don't think they'll be the defending champions, and I think the Crusaders will be able to sneak up on them and rightfully reclaim their Super Rugby title. Second prediction is that the Lakers will make the playoffs. This is more positive thinking more than anything, but I think I've just reverse jinxed them. The third prediction I have is that Dwight Howard will resign in the offseason with the Lakers because there is no bigger brand in basketball than the Lakers to make him a global superstar. Plus, the Lakers can offer him more money and more years on his contract. In saying that, I probably just reverse jinxed that as well. So he'll be gone, and I'll be crying about it over the summer for the American. Yeah. The next prediction I've got is the last sporting one I've got is one that I predicted last year, and I think it's gonna and it didn't quite pan out, and I think it's gonna happen this year, and that's Tiger Woods will win a major this year. I think I saw it out by a year, so I think this year is going to be his year. And the culture prediction I've got is that Iron Man 3 will gross more money than the new Superman movie, Man of Steel, to keep up with the comic book rivalry that DC and Marvel have. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see, and hopefully a lot of these predictions will pan out. And, boys, that's the Think Tank. So good luck.
Beautiful. No, that was great, and we will be listening back to them the end of this year, and we'll see what happens. Always a lot of fun there. That's us for the show this week. You can, of course, find us on Facebook, facebook.com/whosplayingwho. You can tweet us at whosplayingwho, and, of course, our website is whosplayingwho.net. It's time to say goodbye, first of all, to Shippy. Thank you for your contributions this week, and it's always great to have you on board.
Thank you, guys. I'm just glad you haven't found out that I'm hiding an elaborate drug scheme in my room here and that I've been covering it up the whole time. So thank you very much for not knowing that. I mean, what?
Wow. Sorry.
That's a very bizarre confession at the end of this. My goodness. Okay. Well, we hope that you'll be back next time as well, and not in jail or something. I don't know. Tomo, hope you're not doing anything illegal while podcasting. But again, thank you for your contributions. You keep a steady ship on this show.
Hey, it's great to be back, and lovely to log into the interactive studio and see all your wonderful pictures and voices. So it was a good break that we had, and I'm glad, you know, it was a good, great show to kick things off, and to many more.
Absolutely, and Matt as well, superbly.
Thanks, Adrian.
Superbly done.
So,
yeah, go on.
Thank you. Once again, good to be back for the 2013 year, and I hope all of my predictions come true, and one of yours doesn't. And I think you know which one I don't want to come true.
That's it, the Chelsea boss. I know you love Rafa.
Oh, Benitez. Yeah, no. Nah, yeah, no. I really hope that Benitez is there.
That's it. All right. And thank you very much for listening as well. We'll be back next week, fingers crossed. But remember, for the weekend ahead, all that matters is who's playing who.
Say my name, say my name. No one is around you. Say, baby, I love you. You ain't running games. Say my name, say my name. You acting kind of shady. Ain't calling me baby. Why the sudden change? Say my name, say my name. If no one is around you, say, baby, I love you. If you ain't running games. Say my name, say my name. You acting kind of shady. Ain't calling me baby.